Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here, I'm back.
Is it good to be here and back?
Yes.
Good. Feeling good? Feeling tip-top?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay, good. I see you drinking a Coke. You're back on that train?
Correct.
You're a moron.
You mean I'm immortal?
Yeah, I will never die. Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant you're
exactly
immortal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I misspoke.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. See, what's happened here is that I have no object permanence.
Yeah.
And I was in severe medical grade pain a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that's gone.
But now you're not.
And you can't remember it, so
yeah,
it may as well not exist.
It's like you've given birth, Mason. It's
that's
exactly
right.
Like that, isn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly.
You're like a baby and the parent puts their hand over their face and the baby thinks they're gone.
Correct.
Yeah. But in this case, the parent is the kidney stone and you're an idiot.
All of those things are correct. I was going to say it was a very tortured metaphor. Then you got back to the crux of it, which is that I'm an idiot. And I'm like, no, that we're back on track.
Right, there was a sort of Incredibles trailer this week.
Yeah.
It debuted at the Winter Olympics, which you've been
competing
ignoring.
At, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
How'd you go?
Good. The luge. I did the luge.
Did the luge. Did you
yep.
win?
Yep.
How many gold medals?
2 gold medals.
In the luge?
Yeah.
Different events?
No,
or you were so good.
The same game. Event.
Oh, because one of your team members died, so you got his medal?
Well, I took, yeah, and so I took both places in the what I assume is some sort of sled.
Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They just put me in.
Yeah,
they
right.
just put me in and I win it. And
yeah.
then I'm there.
Do you go forwards or backwards when you do? Which way do you face?
Whichever, it doesn't matter.
Do you go on your stomach?
I flip midway. So I started.
I did see you surf at one point.
Yeah, that's
as well.
Right. Just have fun with it, you know?
You gotta have fun with it. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing there?
Did you hear about I can't remember what sport it was, but apparently some guy just. Like one of the competitors was like a 19-year-old, and he just had a Netflix binge the previous night, and he just got up late, and he just went in, and he won. So,
well, because he was chill.
This funny little skit we did was inspired by true events.
Fantastic. No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear anything.
Okay, because you're not paying attention.
Absolutely
to it?
Not. No, I mean, good on him. It's incredible, but I'm not.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the last Olympics, like the regular Olympics. So
the better Olympics, you can call it that.
No, I actually. These events do fascinate me, but I just haven't been watching it.
Right.
Mostly because this TV isn't plugged in.
I like
anything.
To think of them as Olympics and
yeah.
Olympics nights.
And what do you think of Commonwealth Games?
You know, like
Games?
Baywatch and yes. Baywatch nights.
Olympic snow. I
yes, think. Exactly.
Yeah. What about Commonwealth Games? You know, it's like the Olympics.
Oh, that's like
we've
Bondi
got a,
Vet.
We've got a chance to win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. All right. Anyway, Incredibles 2.
Wait, what's the Australian version of Baywatch? What would that be?
It's Baywatch Australia. That
well, oh yeah, there was one, wasn't there? For like one episode, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Water Rats?
I was going to say Water Rats. Yeah.
But it's not real. It's probably more Home and Away.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that's not as sexy as Baywatch, was it?
No.
Is it? It's still going. Charlie Clawson recently left. Home
Baywatch
and Away.
Baywatch or Home and Away? Okay.
And Away. Baywatch is done.
Okay.
It's over.
Uh-huh.
What do we got here? Yeah, so the Incredible 2's trailer...
Incredible 2's.
What did you think of it?
Looked pretty good.
I agree.
I liked how they've updated. The designs are similar.
Yes.
But they've technology has moved forward.
Yeah.
And they've moved it along.
But
everybody's got a little better texture.
I see. Sometimes they take it too far.
Yeah.
Like if you look at like Ice Age 1, which I have been watching because my son loves it. And the latest one.
He can say Ice Age.
He can say Ice Age.
He can demand Ice Age.
He can demand Ice Age, yeah. And like some of the textures, it's too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is, I think it's a good... Because a lot of the design is very crisp, very clear, simple silhouettes. Like
yes.
you can pick out Mr. Incredible from just his shape. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they've kept a lot of that, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Plot-wise, it seems a bit similar.
I did think that, like, somebody getting... Well, I mean, it's more about getting superheroes back into the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
But do you think there's a sinister goal?
Oh, for sure.
Something's afoot?
Yes.
What do you think is afoot?
I reckon he's like Syndrome's dad or something.
Ah, oh, Syndrome's
Or
dad.
Syndrome's kid.
Syndrome's kid. It's
Syndrome's a bit brother.
Because this movie picks up directly after... The original one.
Yeah,
do you remember the original one? It ends with the Underminer.
That's right, yeah.
This is one of my favorite Pixar films.
Same.
And it's not just because of the superhero stuff. I think it's...
For me, it's just because of the superhero stuff. Because it's the superhero stuff and...
It's the sad stuff.
There's less sad stuff.
There is less sad stuff, yeah.
Again, I'm not on board with Disney stuff and sadness generally.
Yeah, right.
You notice it's now Disney and Pixar. Have they separated as companies? What's going
on?
No,
they've always been... Well, not always, but they are separate divisions.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, but they are owned by Disney.
Okay.
Yeah. But all the cast seem to be back. All the the ones that are alive. I'm trying to think if any of them are dead. No, I don't think so. But
Samuel L. Jackson's dead. They've just recreated all his dialogue by taking samples from all his
I'm
other
sure
movies.
I'm sure they could. Yeah. But no, this is the one.
This one's just about snakes on a plane. I'm not sure.
I'm very excited.
What's going on there?
But this is also the one that I've wanted to see a sequel for. Like, I saw Monsters University. Mm. It's fine.
Yeah, how did they crank out two Cars sequels?
Yeah, exactly. Planes.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is technically a side call.
I guess because...
Or something.
There's less... Cars is Cars. It's a novelty movie than it is... Is that fair to say?
I think Cars probably shifts a lot of merch.
Oh, I guess that's true, yeah.
But also, like, Finding Dory took like 14 years or whatever it did to...
Yeah.
And that's a really good sequel.
Ooh.
But there's been a bunch of Toy Stories, obviously, and they're all very good. I think this is going to be great.
Same.
It's Brad Bird, and some people say misstep in Tomorrowland. I say it's got a lot of good ideas, but it's...
But who's it for? Who's it for?
Yeah. But it really is.
If it were for kids today, it'd be about video
they should have
games,
put Jake Paul in it.
Virtual reality something.
Oh, like a Ready Player One situation, yeah, which we'll talk about.
Mm.
But no, I think
because like what kid Tomorrowland? What kid is nostalgic for a past where there's jetpacks and ray guns?
Yeah, and it's no the kid. 50s sort
yeah,
of
right,
or
no,
whatever.
No, nobody.
Yeah,
no. I kid. Liked it, but
yeah, same. But I think also the casting's wrong. We've talked about this. George Clooney's great. But if you're going to cast George Clooney, maybe cast a kid that kids recognize, not the girl from Under the Dome.
Yeah, and right.
You know, and she was fine in it, but...
Logan Paul. Logan Paul, exactly.
So, but no, I think The Incredibles is one of the best comic book movies.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's obviously the best Fantastic Four movie by a long shot. But it does so much with the tropes and it plays with the idea of the golden age of superheroes.
Yes.
And retired superheroes and family life. And it's just, it does a lot. And it's really, and even little things like the no capes thing, just like little ideas like that. It's just really solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it 2 incredible thumbs up.
Those are in... Actually, they're kind of credible now that I look
at them. They're very credible.
They're very credible, yeah.
What do you give it? 2 credible thumbs up?
Yeah, very credible thumbs up.
Good, excellent.
Well, you know, I'm going to give it 1.5 credible thumbs up because if the plot's exactly the same...
I don't think it will be.
Okay, right.
I think that'll be an element, but there'll be something that you won't expect.
Do you think...
Like a horrible death because it's Disney.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think the Underminer is like done in 5 minutes?
I think that's your Bond opening
sequence
kind of thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the way they used to kind of do it with Bond. Now everybody's his brother or whatever. Everybody's a spectre of his past or something.
Oh, maybe Bob Odenkirk's his brother.
Could be.
No, you'd know.
He looks a lot like Bob Odenkirk, that guy, as well. Did you notice that? The design's not dissimilar. Did you know Brad Bird does the voice of the fashion lady?
I did know
Edna
that, yeah.
Mole?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh.
I also like how Mr. Incredible's got like the receding hairline and the
If
ball
you were
going to
challenge me there, you should have said, who do you think does the voice of that character?
And you couldn't have said Brad Bird?
I might have known.
We just said Brad Bird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway, we better move on.
Okay.
Looks good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I hope Jack has even more powers.
I think he has even more powers. He turns into a demon.
Yeah.
He can bloody teleport and shit.
Yeah.
He does it all.
Laser eyes.
Yeah, laser eyes. Kung Fury, you familiar with that?
Yes, it's getting a sequel, right?
It's getting a sequel.
And somebody famous is in it? Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger is going to be in it. And also Michael Fassbender is going to be in it. And actually, as this was announced, then a whole lot of... his abuse details surfaced.
Yeah.
At around the same time. So I don't know.
That sounded a lot more enthusiastic than I meant it to be. That was meant to be a resign.
Oh, your eyes were like, yeah. Like that's how I took it. Oh,
okay, right.
But I think everybody else took it the other way. And just to be clear, that's how you meant it?
No.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to clear the air. Right. Yeah. This is why we need a video format, Mason. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that, haven't we?
Well, maybe we'll get there one day.
Yeah. No time soon. Don't hold your breath, Mason. Oh, no. Do you want me to just continue? He's shrugging. Is he secretly breathing through his nose? He's not changing colour. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how. I think he hasn't got that much in him because his eyes are bugging out of his head. There we go.
That ended primarily because I didn't have a funny way to end it. I was trying to think of one, but then I realised that there was no oxygen going to my brain. I'm like, I'll come out with a funny. I'll say a funny little thing about holding my breath. Whatever, it's a funny little thing. And then my brain went, nah, you can't think of nothing, mate. You're dying.
Here's a test for people at home. Mm-hmm. Hold your breath for as long as, see if you can think of something in the time that Mason held his breath for and think of a funny thing.
If you could.
But you have to think of it while you hold your breath. It can't be a thing you pre-thought of. Mm-hmm. And then tweet at Mason.
If you could.
Yeah, Kung Fury, though. It's David Sandberg directed the first. It's like, have you seen it? It's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's cool for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I'm kind of like... Is this a good idea?
Is this going to work dragged out to 2 hours?
Yeah.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger in it?
Yeah.
In a major role or a cameo? I don't know.
Well, it's the 80s or whatever. But yeah, I think this is also on the back of if Ready Player One does well. It's like people love the 80s. Let's just pack a thing with cool things from the 80s and nostalgia and things that people love and whatever. I like this short. I haven't watched it since. I know there was some controversy with the Kickstarter and where the money went and then there was more money or something. I don't know. I think it all worked out. Or maybe it didn't. I don't know.
You got a movie out of it. Yeah. Aren't you happy?
This could very much be a Sky Captain situation where the guy who directed that short film then did the Jude Law one and nobody saw it. So I think it could be that. Or like, a, you know, or like a...
Throw it in the Tomorrowland Sky Captain pile.
Yeah, exactly. Like something that... I'm not sure this is going to translate.
Is the era of this... kind of thing over, do you
think? I think it might be.
Remember when there was this, and then there was like a video, there was the Far Cry video game spin-off, Blood Dragon.
Oh, yeah,
right. Which was like set in an 80s future, and it was very, very self-referential. And
like you played as Michael Biehn, sort of.
Yeah, exactly,
Michael Biehn's going to be in this, right?
Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Okay, then yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's always the test in Hollywood. They're like, is Michael Biehn going to be in this?
Is he still alive?
Still alive? Okay, yep. Already he can be in
but
this.
No, he's not in it. Generally, they won't put him in a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean...
This is getting a theatrical release. This is just a
free thing. I mean, with Fassbender, yeah, I guess. Mm. Yeah. It'd have to be.
And that's going to be interesting because it's... Wait, is it going to be Kung Fury 2 or is it going to be the original Kung Fury just expanded out?
I think it's an actual sequel.
Huh.
Yeah,
okay.
So they'll probably get the first guy back. And
because it's going to be... a cinematic release of a sequel and the original one didn't.
Yes.
How do you think that's going to go?
About as well as Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Terrific.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see this doing super well.
No.
But I've
strange things
wrong.
Have happened.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, probably. In the scheme of... like in people life, have been hit by lightning twice or whatever.
That's true, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. What do you think about this, though? The new Ready Player One trailer.
Here's the thing, I quite like the look of it. I know you were scoffing through the whole thing.
I didn't scoff, Mason.
You cringed and you scoffed.
Yeah, okay. Look, I scoffed a little.
You know what I think they're going to... What I think for me is cringe... And again, I haven't read Ready Player One. Mm. I've read excerpts from it.
And you loved it.
I hated it. But what was cringy to me about the text that I've read of it is it's just long lists of... pop culture references or whatever, and internal dialogue where a dude just lists all the things he knows. And in a movie, there isn't enough room for that.
So they show it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think a lot of that is going to be sidelined.
Yeah, right.
And this new trailer looks to me a lot more like a Maze Runner Hunger Games kind of situation.
There is definitely a bit of that.
Where it's definitely going to be, I think there's going to be less time spent in this Oasis thing and more time spent in the real world.
Boo, probably.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think it will be fine. I think it'll be on par with a Hunger Games.
Or a Speed Racer.
I think it'll be better than Speed Racer.
Okay, I haven't seen Speed Racer. Yeah. Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all of it. I turned it off.
Yes.
It was boring.
So you haven't seen Speed Racer,
Mason. That's true, yeah.
Some people love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As I said to you when the trailer finished, and I'm sure they'll...
And you finished scoffing.
And I finished scoffing. I would love this to be good, because yeah. I want Spielberg to make a really great movie again, uh-huh. which I've talked about before, especially when he's about to do Indiana Jones
yes.
again. But what I don't understand the rules of this stupid universe, and I'm sure it's outlined in the book, but from uh-huh. these trailers, and I'm sure it'll be outlined in the movie, but it just seems dumb. <It's>
like, well, what I thought was interesting about this is in some of it, in order to move from like one place to another, you just... In the Oasis universe, you just stand still in your little hut.
Yeah.
But in some sequences in this movie, in the trailer, there are people running and their avatars are running
yeah.
in the Oasis when they're running in real life.
I guess they're probably going to be like, let's run in real life. And they'll take out the head jack and then
oh, I see. Right,
and then
right.
everybody's a master okay. chief or whatever.
Actually, that's what I was going to say
earlier. What if you
earlier?
Hit a wall?
Then you die. And then you die in real life.
Oh, no.
If you hit a wall... No, that's what I mean. If you hit a wall in real life, you die in real life. Yeah.
Okay.
That was what I was going to say in regard to, I think the movie's going to be better than the book. American Psycho, the book.
Wait, did you say that to me or did you say that on this show just now?
Just now.
Okay, I was going to say because I don't think... Yeah, you said... Okay.
Anyway, American Psycho, the book, real boring.
Right.
And the best part of that movie is they stripped away... Because it's just... It's chapter after chapter of him listing his workout regimen and his like his skincare regimen and the clothes he picks out or whatever.
Sounds great.
And in the movie, there's a little bit of that just to set the scene, and then they strip the rest of it out. But the book is literally that for chapter after chapter after chapter.
And then
chapter.
It's murders.
And then there's a horrific murder, and then it's back are to him murders, listing what he had for breakfast or whatever.
Are the murders outlined the same way that his skincare regime is?
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yeah.
Right, really?
Yeah.
So it's just really methodically listing the things that he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good book?
No.
Okay. My favorite part of that movie is the business cards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a great fantastic. Scene. Yeah. But anyway, what I'm saying is as much as American Psycho can yeah. relate to Ready Player One, I think that because there's not enough room to just list things and things and things, yeah. there might be a scene where he's like, I like these bands and these movies
or
whatever.
There's going to be a lot of that.
But I think there's going
like
to be
a lot of
that.
Like they'll get to a thing and they're like, how do we open this door? And he's like, well, if I remember...
I think there's going to be...
I couldn't even think of a reference.
of anything from the past. That happens.
Yeah. Because it was too many.
Yeah. And also, I sometimes...
You know, I went to the movie and I just saw a wall of people just running at each other, yeah. which is what that trailer was.
I think there's going to be some snippets of that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be aware that people find that irritating and they're going to be like, there's going to be a bit where he, you know, he knows that... This band released this album and that's how he gets through. But for the rest, it's just going to be running and people being like, we've got to start a revolution, you know?
Yeah. It seems like Mendo's doing a lot of legwork in this as well, even though he's the big boss.
Yeah, right. He's getting in there. He's getting
really
in the Oasis.
There,
yeah.
And uh-huh. like he's, you know, he's going into his trailer when he's the one with the gun at the front. I guess he's also a man from the street, like Ty Simpkins, that's not his name. Whoever this kid is, Cyclops.
Yeah, right.
I remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was an okay Cyclops, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, I thought he was all right.
Oh, I just don't remember him being Cyclops.
He was Cyclops X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay, terrific.
Mason, you know how that... Come with me and we'll see a world of pure imagination.
Oh, that's right. It does have another sad... It's got a sad, slow version of a classic song
correct,
that we all remember.
Mason.
Okay, that's a reference that I get.
Yeah, you get it. What about this? A Willy Wonka movie is in development. It looks to be a prequel... So it's not going to be...
So it's where he gets his weird powers from.
Where he gets his weird powers. Where he learns to do a forward roll.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah.
At high school gym.
But again, that breaks... The problem with a Willy Wonka sequel is
prequel.
That... Prequel, whatever. Sequel would be fine.
No, it wouldn't. Have you read Great Glass Elevator? It's
no,
horrible.
I never have.
Anyway,
no.
sorry.
But the problem with a prequel is that that's going to result in people watching them in order.
Mm.
And then it ruins, again, Gene Wilder's great
forward roll.
Exactly, yeah. Arrival. Where
but maybe you think he can't forward roll
because
he's an
forward
old man.
Rolls. Then he forward rolls like a champion.
Do you think, I think James Franco would have been a good one.
Gene Wilder's still good, right? I mean, he's dead.
Dead.
No, but I mean, has his persona being ruined?
I don't think
his public persona being ruined by something
like Richard Pryor has been like, there's some horrible stuff about Richard Pryor.
But Gene Wilder seems like he was always a gentleman, which is good, yeah.
And like he would like get recognized as Willy Wonka and he'd be like, hey, and he kind of like go along with it. Oh, that's true, yeah. Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the reason I think this might be actually good.
Yes. What is the actual plot of this prequel?
I don't know. He goes to the Oompa Loompa land or whatever and steals them.
Oh, he probably steals them.
I mean, in the book,
yeah,
they live in this horrible jungle where there's monsters attacking them all the time, and they love chocolate or the cocoa plant, but there's none of it, and there's or very little.
How did they hear about it then?
There's very little of it.
Oh, I see, right.
And so he's like, if you come to my factory, you can eat as much as you want and just do whatever. And right. I mean, you'll have to work, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is the director of the Paddington films. And I haven't seen two, but apparently it's really good. But Paddington is fantastic.
Okay.
And you should absolutely watch it. It's really fun. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, what do you think about a Willy Wonka prequel? Did you like the last one? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The reboot?
No.
You seen it?
Yeah. I think we saw it together.
No, we didn't. Did we? Saw it. It was one of my... So date with Claire, actually.
Oh, hello. When, seal the deal.
Seal the bloody...
Wow.
Yeah. It definitely didn't seal the deal, this terrible film. If anything, it set us back months.
You watched it. What happened is you watched it, and then you both... It was just an empty cinema and you two, and then you booked out the whole thing, and then you both like... And then the Johnny Depp... Willy Wonka that you've hired emerges from the shadows with like a ring on a velvet pillow, and you're like, "Get out of here, man! Get out of here!" It didn't work. They made a terrible mistake.
You know what? There's a few things that are interesting about that movie.
Yes,
the little person that they hired to play every single Oompa Loompa.
Oh, yep.
Got paid. Apparently, I think it was Johnny Depp pushed for him to be paid for every role that he did.
Oh, interesting.
Because he's playing individual characters.
Yeah, right.
I remember hearing that. I don't know whether that's true. And also they used the lyrics from the Roald Dahl, from the actual book, for the songs.
Right.
And the songs...
Are they racist?
Are terrible. Oh. They're not. As far as I know, they're not racist, but they're not good.
Okay,
like, they work as kind of like little rhymes in the book, because that's a fun book if you've ever read it. But it... There's a reason they rewrote those songs for the original movie, which wasn't even supposed to be a proper movie. They did it to push out Wonka bars because they started making them.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was a commercial.
Huh.
And it ended up... I think
we only got Wonka chocolate bars like...
Relatively recently.
Like 10 years ago or
unless
something.
They did it like in the 70s and they stopped.
Then they stopped and it came back again.
But
right.
They got recalled very quickly and for
because they had pieces of plastic in
it. Pieces of plastic and human fingers in it and whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I just thought
that'll be interesting because what is interesting about the first Willy Wonka movie is that it's a horrible Industrial Revolution era nightmare London.
Yeah.
And then...
Or Eastern Europe or something.
Yeah, wherever it is. Yeah. And then you just go to this one magical place that is filled with all these wonders of the world. But that... A prequel would suggest that everywhere else in the world has these amazing wonders and
Oompa Loompas
and amazing stuff. It's just Charlie and his family just happen to live in this one just hellish smog-filled like wasteland.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, exactly. But it's... Well, and it's also why that, because the book is called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it's called, they changed the name of the first movie to Willy Wonka for that reason.
Oh, right.
And that's why the Burton one is like, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to call it Charlie. It sucks. Your movie sucks. It's not good. Transformers. You a fan?
Oh, yeah. No. Wait. See, you've loaded that question,
okay,
my friend.
Toys. You a fan?
I mean, I was.
The new ones.
No.
I found one of my brother's ones the other day from the first movie.
Again, actually loaded
question. It's a jagged nightmare.
Yeah. Actually loaded question because, again, some of the modern ones are very good. The masterpiece ones are very good.
No, I'm talking about the ones that are based on the movie.
Oh, no good.
Because my brother's got, you know, the one that Optimus Prime cuts the head off on the freeway?
Oh, yeah.
And my nephew gave it to me. He was like, can you transform this? Because it's really complicated for no reason and it's like small and fiddly. So I transformed it into the truck and he goes, can you make it the man? And I did. And he's like, what is that? Because it just doesn't, it's just like, I don't even know. It just looks like a weird, like, broken robot in a starfish position.
That's perfect, exactly, yeah. That's literally only just occurred to me now.
What?
That is such a cheap way to design even the movie Transformers to be like, well, I don't even have to I don't even have to look that much like men. It doesn't matter.
No.
Just have them make them transform. You can transform from a plain or weird crabbed guy. Who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. Mm. I mean, one of the selling points of the first Transformers movie, and I don't know whether this carries over to the other, probably, it's that they could actually transform. Like, it uses real car parts and whatever.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they ended up going with that type of truck. We've talked about this before for Optimus Prime. But as we've also mentioned, there's also a cube that's 100 feet tall that goes to about
a foot across. Yeah, exactly.
A weedy little man can grab it and run through through a street.
Anyway, this is all lead up to be saying that the Transformers movies are getting rebooted.
They're getting
a
reboot. So after Bumblebee. I think Bumblebee should have been the jumping off point.
Yeah.
Because this seems like it could be a good one.
Yes.
So maybe this should have been
maybe
the clean
break.
Maybe
it'll be a soft reboot.
Yeah. Potentially. But I think if they do reboot it, which they will, first of all,
because they've said they're going
to. Because they said they will. You've got to do the more classic designs.
Oh, yeah.
Just
for sure.
Throw all of this stuff out that they've been doing.
Yep.
There's a lot of amazing technical achievements in terms of special effects.
Yes.
But a lot of the design is not good.
Yes.
And I don't think it's the fault of the design people, because that's obviously what the
Michael Bay told them to do.
More fire,
he said.
But I can't, if you put them in a row, a lot of the time I don't know who's who.
Yes.
And maybe that's also because
you're robot
what
racist.
Are their voices? Maybe I'm robot. Like, I don't know whose voices are whose. What are their personalities?
Uh-huh.
There's a green one and he's a samurai, but I don't know his name. Is it Blade or Buzzfeed? I don't know.
It's Buzzfeed, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He's always just spouting top 10 lists.
Top 10 lists and telling everybody they're racist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always the top 10 times you transform, but then you just couldn't even, you know? And it's just in GIF form.
But, so this is what they're doing. And I think the other reason they're doing this is because Hasbro and whoever else owns this, Universal, I guess?
Paramount?
Paramount, yeah. The one that banned me.
How's that working out for you?
I have a email back. But they're doing, what was I going to say? They own Micronauts, G.I. Joe, GoBots.
Yeah, right.
A bunch of other shit that they should make this toy cinematic universe. I'm against cinematic universes because literally none of them have worked except the MCU.
Yeah.
But I think there is an opportunity. Even if you just did G.I. Joe and Transformers, I think that could be really good.
Yeah. But there's been some pretty good comic book G.I. Joe v. Transformers, because they were both owned by Marvel at one point, comic book wise. And there's been a recent one. I think IDW Comics recently did a massive crossover of all their bizarre properties. It was Transformers and G.I. Joe and like ROM Space Knight and a bunch of others.
Who was ROM Space Knight with at the moment?
He was all not Marvel anymore.
He's not Marvel, yeah. That's what I thought, yeah. Okay. No, I think, and also there are a lot of good Transformers comics in general now. Like All Hail Megatron, which is, it's probably a few years old now, but that's quite good.
Uh-huh.
And didn't you say there was like two competing lines in the 90s? There was like a British Transformers comic and an American one or
there
something?
There was the American one which came out monthly.
Yeah.
And there was a British one which was a bigger format. It came out weekly.
Which was the mean one?
The mean one?
Because wasn't one like more death and destruction and smashing?
The British one where there was more death.
Okay.
But the British one reprinted all the American stories, but because it came out every week, they needed more content. So they also had like a backup story, which was like British.
Right.
So they were more British.
Okay.
They were more British.
Which is better?
I think the British one was, because there was just more stuff.
More stuff, yeah. More
and there was always a letters column that was responded to by a Transformer in character.
Oh, very
good. So
it
was I think it was Soundwave, and then it was Blaster, and then it was like Dreadwing or something like that.
When do they get the time?
I don't know.
Soundwave's too busy being a weird satellite or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What happened to Megatron turned into Galvatron.
Correct.
And then in the last one, he was just Megatron again. Remember he had a big hole in his chest?
Yeah, I remember.
What happened to that?
We'll never know.
Yeah,
we're getting rebooted. Exactly, yeah.
I mean, not that any of these movies adhere to the previous continuity regardless. Mm. Anyway, do you care?
If they get it. Again, I will, if they just, all I want is a movie where Optimus Prime is the truck he was in the cartoon. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I will forgive any other flaws, because that's when Transformers 4 came out and he was briefly that truck. I'm like, oh, things are looking up for this universe. This is going to be a pretty good one. And then I went probably 90 minutes of that movie going, this could be a good one. And then I'm like,
that's a long time.
Yeah. And it wasn't, but it gave me a glimmer of hope. Just do that and I'll be happy.
Yeah, right. Mm. Okay.
And put the trailer on. Why wouldn't you put the trailer on the back of that? That's the point of a truck.
It's got more stuff in it.
It keeps all his stuff in it.
It's got his guns and shit, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Roller. Roller. Mate.
Yeah, his little mate. I remember. Mm-hmm. But no, they're not good, and they should do this. I have something else to say about that, but I can't remember. I think unless you can get a really good performance out of Peter Cullen,
yeah,
get rid of him. And I hate saying that, but what is he even doing in these movies anymore? Like, it's just...
But that's not his fault.
No, you're right.
Because he's just been given the worst dialogue yeah. in the universe. I guess maybe, obviously kids now don't remember the original cartoon and they don't have any nostalgic feeling for that voice particularly. But like, he was all, in the cartoon, he was all noble. And in this one, he's just running around screaming, I'll kill everyone! I'll kill all of you! Yeah. Or whatever, like...
But I think if you are rebooting it, maybe that's the way he might have to go anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. Then again, yeah, you're right. If you just give him better dialogue, you're
Danny McBride.
Right.
What about Danny McBride?
Why not? He could be Starscream.
Well, a lot of people have emailed in and suggested Danny McBride as Lobo.
Oh yeah.
Last week, DC were going to make that. They want to make their Deadpool competitor in the form of Lobo. Danny
that's
McBride.
Not a bad idea.
Size him like do it. Lord of the Rings style,
yeah,
with weird perspective tricks so he looks really big.
That's a good idea.
Isn't it, though? And he could be fat and funny.
They won't do it, though.
No, they won't.
They'll do something bad.
They'll make that Dundee movie that people want for some reason that won't be good.
I think people have already forgotten about that.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Yeah. Sicario 2, the director of that, apparently is going to be doing the Call of Duty movie.
Okay, then.
There's also been talk, and this wasn't when this was announced or revealed, but there's going to do a Call of Duty cinematic universe.
Stop trying this. It doesn't. You can't force it. It doesn't work.
Do you? I defy you. Like you won't be able to do this. But do you know anybody in Call of Duty? Do you know their names?
No.
Soap. I remember Soap.
You're thinking of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking.
No,
Guns.
No. There is a character called Soap.
Oh, because he's like Sergeant Soap. Isn't he in Call of Duty 4?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a modern warfare? Is it going to be a future warfare? Or is it going to be a?
I don't know.
See, I also feel people might be like. Well, this is the director of Sicario, and Sicario was very good. I enjoyed that a lot.
And this is recently. It's really good. No, it's not. It's the director of Sicario 2.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
But, no, it's not out yet. But okay, I think it looks good. Well,
okay, but if people are like, well, this is going to break the video game curse, this will be a movie based on a video game that is good, even if that's true, they're just war game. They're just war video games.
Yes.
I don't think that counts.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think technically it would count.
So you're saying that would be like if that... Need for Speed movie was good. It's like, what does this have to
it's
do
just,
with
it's just
cars?
And Need for Speed was just driving around a track and...
They should go back to that because all the Need for Speeds now are like open world. Just
and they have plots, right?
Yeah.
Sort of?
It was Hot Pursuit or something on PS3, the last... The guys who did Burnout did it. It was really good.
Okay.
And now it's just... They're trying to make Fast and Furious with microtransactions in a stupid map. Anyway, sorry, go on.
So what I was going to say is if they want to officially break the video game movie curse, they're going to have to put Soap in.
Yes.
They're going to have to put all the characters we know and love from whatever the best
Kevin
college
is. Kevin Spacey's in one of them, I think.
He is too.
Kit Harington's in one of them.
Ooh.
They're the future ones or whatever.
Yeah, right, okay. Because if they don't...
I think Titanfall would be a better choice.
Well, they're not making that, are they?
No, they're not.
So, what other things you got that'd be good?
SOCOM.
Oh, yeah, SOCOM.
And again, it's the same, though. It's like, name anybody in SOCOM. Do they even have storylines? I can't remember.
No.
I haven't played one in a long
Sally
time.
Sally SOCOM.
Sally's, oh, yeah, yeah, the lead. Yep.
Yeah.
They should do another Hitman movie. Just take another run at that.
I don't think they should.
You don't think so?
No.
But the last one left it open to a sequel, because at the very end, the last scene, mm-hmm. he beats... Whoever the bad guy is in that.
Another guy that looks exactly like him.
Yeah, and then the doors open and there's a clone of him standing there and they draw guns and then it ends.
Nice. Oh, cliffhanger. Perfect. Yeah. Get them. I was going to say those movies don't work and nobody watches them because you can't relate to a weird-looking, pale, bald guy. But then I'm like, I guess weird-looking, pale, bald guys can relate to that character.
And what's every Bruce Willis movie nowadays or since he shaved his head?
Just
or Fast and the Furious. Yeah. Actually, they're very tan in Fast and Furious. It's a lot of tan, bald guys.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Good point, Mason.
Yeah. What are we talking about? Call of Duty.
Jim Rash. He's a weird-looking, bald guy.
That's true.
Would you watch a Hitman, but it's Jim Rash?
Yes.
I would too.
Absolutely, I would.
Anyway, don't
do it. Dean Hitman.
Dean Hitman. Oh, I would definitely watch that.
He's a hitman by night, but he's also the dean of a community college.
Love it.
And it's just the dean from Community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Last bit of news. Brian Michael Bendis is to write a mystery X-Men movie that's currently titled 1-4-3 with director Tim Miller. He directed the first Deadpool, but not the second one. And he's also working on the Terminator reboot, which could be good.
Could be.
But he's also done like a lot of cutting edge, amazing special effects and that before Deadpool. I'm really interested to see what he does next. Because I think he...
Could be this.
Well, it could be this. I mean, in terms of like whether it will be good. I think there's a very good chance that it will be.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor has it, though, that it's actually a Kitty Pride story.
What does 1-4-3 stand for?
1-4-3-3 refers to it. If you just wait a second, Mason, trip me up in the middle of my bloody...
That was the plan,
I'm doing
a
podcast here, mate.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is that what we're doing? What is this? I thought you cared about my opinions.
Refers to 1-4-3 refers to her first solo adventure. It's not an introduction, but first solo adventure where she faces a demon alone in the X mansion, which sounds great.
What does the 1-4-3 mean though?
It's the number
of what?
Demons. No, the comic.
Oh, it's issue 1-4-3.
I don't know whether it's uncanny or original or whatever.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So this is some sleuthing people have done.
Yeah.
Wait, so that's complete speculation.
No, I think it was, or was that, a rumor or something. I don't know. Okay, what do you want? I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is if they said, oh, it's called 1-4-3 and then people have done their original research and gone, okay, well, Uncanny X-Men 1-4-3 is a Kitty Pryde solo story.
Yeah, I think it was it was something like that probably.
Right, okay.
I don't know. Mm. But that to me sounds good. And if this is true, all of this, I like, first, Brian Michael Bendis, that's good.
Yeah.
Tim Miller's good. Kitty Pryde, I like that character in the X-Men. I don't know whether they'll bring back Alan Page, but they probably could, depending on what's happening with this universe.
And what's happening with Alan Page's career.
Well, that's also, But I think I want to, more weird X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
Just
which reminds me, I think Legion is coming back.
Yeah,
which
in like
is good.
2 months or a month or something.
Yeah, which is good because my assumption was going to be that, who bought Fox? Marvel, right?
Nobody yet.
Nobody it's yet, still okay. In the, my assumption was that, and I think a lot of people's assumption was that somebody was going to buy that and all the existing Fox stuff, X-Men stuff was going to get dumped.
Well, so they can't cancel anything yet because they don't own it. So I guess they're just still making this stuff until Disney grabs it and guts it. I don't know what they're going to do.
But that's the thing. They could, though.
They absolutely could.
They got the money to do it.
Yeah, and don't do that. Just and leave
then
we Legion.
Then we're going to have to wait till Walt Disney's resurrected head dies again before they management changes hands and they release it all.
What's a life cycle of a defrosted human head?
It's tough to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, none of them have died yet, so.
Mm. Okay. I guess we wait.
Yeah.
And we see.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this movie, though?
I want to see what New Mutants is like first.
Okay.
Don't want to make any...
I think it doesn't matter whether that's good or bad for this. I think this is a good team.
Right.
It could be Kitty Pryde's Logan.
Maybe, yeah.
How's your Patrick Stewart?
Let me check.
Logan.
It's not bad.
Not bad,
it's like
right?
Old. Yeah. Like he's been punched in the chest.
Yeah, that's right.
Logan.
That's good too, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
nice. Mine was different. Mine was more like, kind of, come on.
Yeah. You know, right.
We'll come back to that though.
Okay, good.
another week.
If people could suggest scenarios for us, I think it'd be a good test for us and our incredible impressions.
Yeah.
Suggest scenarios in which Patrick Stewart as Professor X has to use the word Logan, and then we'll do our best impressions of that.
Definitely.
If you could email in or tweet at us,
definitely.
That would be good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Huge opening weekend, it seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, the ticket sales, that includes, this is just in the US, and this includes Thursday night previews, 76 million. So it's breaking records, Mason. It's one of the biggest openings of all time. For just Friday, it's 50 million, right?
Yep.
But if you look at comparisons, Batman v Superman did 53, Iron Man 3 did 53, The Dark Knight did 49, and Civil War did 48.
Ooh.
So less than Captain America Civil War, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking for a $200 million weekend.
Seems like a lot.
Which is, a few weeks ago, it was something like 165, and it's well exceeded that.
Their own.
So we're going to do non-spoilers then spoilers, as we do when we talk about a film, unless it's really shit, and then we just do all spoilers.
Just do all spoilers, yeah.
But this isn't really shit.
No, it's not.
So, it'll be time-coded if you want to skip anything, but if you... As I should say every time we do this, if you really don't want to know anything...
Spoilers slip out from us all the time.
Yeah, don't listen.
Sometimes we get enthusiastic and we just say everything that happens.
And there's some letters about it later that I'm going to get to that might be some spoilers as well. So anyway, just...
So we both saw this twice.
Yes.
We saw a media screening.
Correct.
Full of bored media people.
It was the best media screening because it was like 10 a.m. on a Friday... It was just the best.
Uh-huh.
Like, they didn't care. Nobody cared that we were there in terms of, like, the people running it. It was just, sit the fuck down.
Here's your movie.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, here's your stupid movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
But then we later saw it independently.
Yes.
Because we're not joined at the hip. We can do anything we want.
Wow.
We have control of our own money.
We don't like it, but...
Yeah, that's right.
We share a bank account.
Yes.
Yeah. And a cinema chair.
But we have debit cards with each other's faces on them.
That's right.
So we're always reminded of each other when we buy something.
Mm. What do we got here? What do you think the story was, though?
Ah, come on, mate.
No, I'm just saying. I'm asking.
All right.
I'm
okay.
Curious.
All right, hang on. Okay. So, Wakanda is a city of a hidden city in Africa.
Yes.
Full of the most wondrous technology in the world.
Yes.
But then what happens?
It's Civil War.
Oh yeah, Civil War happened.
So it's set fairly closely after. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, okay, so T'Challa, son of King T'Chaka, has to return to Wakanda to be crowned as king.
And he is or isn't.
Well, I can't say without spoiling that, can I?
No, but he is.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
And then, but then things happen.
Then some stuff happens.
Yeah. Some secrets from the past, some villains reappear from previous movies.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of jumping and kicks and kinetic energies.
Oh, some SUVs get flipped.
There's a car chase, there's an SUV.
Yeah.
There's a weird rubbery robot arm.
Oh, so
there's
good.
There's a train.
Yep.
There's a Phantom Menace-esque final sequence.
There is a bit, isn't there?
Yeah, but better.
Yep.
So, yeah, what did you think of it?
You know what, here's the thing. I watched it the first time.
Yep.
And I liked it.
Yep.
And I liked it, but I felt it was, I had some issues with it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but something was bugging me about it.
Sure.
Specifically, I went and watched it again, and I realized that what I hated about this movie was 2/3 of the first 10 minutes.
Two-thirds of the first ten minutes. Yeah.
Because it's sort of broken up into three sequences.
Yeah, there's like a little intro to the universe. And
then, right. I thought that was very poor. Two-thirds of it I thought was very poorly handled.
Yeah.
And that bled through for me the entire viewing the first time.
Okay.
And then going back, I'm like, okay, well, factoring in that...
Yeah.
I'm just going to... I'm gonna
close my eyes and hold my breath.
For the first 10 minutes, and then I'm just going to watch the movie, and I'm bearing that in mind, what did I think of it? And I'm like, actually, I think this movie's great.
So you're ignoring the bits that you didn't like.
It's good. I think the first 10 minutes... I think was kind of poorly handled.
Yeah, right.
And look,
like rushed?
No, okay, so this movie begins with an opening narration, like an animated opening narration.
Yeah.
Which to me spoilt the central conceit of the movie by telling it to us and not showing it to us.
That is true.
And I think by the time we got to the grand, like as fans of the character, or and you know, who are aware of the character and its origin and who have seen some spoilers and stuff in the trailer, I knew where it was going to go, but I feel like if you had no idea how this movie was, like where this movie was going to go, you'd watch this, and by the time it got to the grand reveal of going to Wakanda and seeing it's this magical technological nation, that's already been spoiled for you.
I think they do. I think they're really good at establishing the universe.
Yeah, right.
But I think they do over-explain a lot of it. Because there's the opening sequence, and then they show everything that they talked about, and then a new person rocks up to Wakanda, and they explain it to them.
Yeah, right.
So I think there is too much of that, when I think they kind of nailed it pretty early on.
Yeah, right. And I think, and I understand why that is. Yeah. I think we'll get to it in spoilers, and I'm going to tell you how I would have done.
Oh, okay.
As a man who's never made a movie, I will tell you how I would change that first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think I understand why they had to do that, and I understand if you went into it in a different way, there might be more exposition that has to be done later on.
Yeah.
But once that 10 minutes was out of the way, and I'm like, I'm going to see what... I'm not going to be concerned about what this movie isn't. I'm gonna actually just dig into what this movie is.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually really good.
Okay. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't up there with my favorite, but what I liked about it was the characters, the casting, the world building, some of the special effects.
Uh-huh.
But there were some story elements, which I'll talk about in spoilers, which kind of weren't that compelling to me, and some things centered around the Black Panther character themselves.
Yeah, right.
Which kind of lowered the stakes for when that person was in danger, which we'll talk about. But there's moments where you think where they really feel in danger, but they're kind of then quickly kind of brushed aside. But the cast, though,
yes,
is really good.
I think so,
and everybody's really good in it. Any standouts for you in particular?
I think the villains were really good in this.
Yeah, right.
And initially, again, when I went through it the first time, I'm like, well, this is kind of a rehash of the classic Marvel movie villain setup where it's the hero versus a guy who's basically the hero in a slightly different colored costume, and then they clash or whatever.
There is certainly that. Yeah.
But in this, as opposed to, say, Iron Man or Ant-Man, the villain in this actually has
a way better
motivation and setup.
Yeah.
Whereas in Iron Man and Ant-Man, it's just a guy who goes crazy for no reason.
Yes.
In Ant-Man, the villain goes crazy because he inhaled too many particles.
Yes.
That's literally his motivation for being an insane, murderous lunatic. But in this, we have a character in Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan, who... He's like if I can compare it to another Marvel movie, he's like the Vulture from Spider-Man Homecoming, in the sense of he's right on the knife edge of maybe he's right.
But then there's also things that he attempts to do that you're like, oh no, that's bad.
Oh yeah, for sure. His methodology is flawed in achieving his goals.
Yes.
But the way he wants the world to be and the way he wants changes to be made, you're like, yeah, he makes a lot of good points.
But his execution is...
Again, it's what I want in a villain is I want a villain who doesn't think they're a villain. They think what they're doing is the best way to achieve their goals and to get in there and do that. And also, Michael B. Jordan has joined what I like to consider the Marvel Chest Club, which is where he takes off his shirt in the movie and the entire audience goes... It's just a great exhale of breath that happened in Thor Ragnarok.
He's way bigger than Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like Chadwick Boseman is
he's big. You know, he's fit. He's beyond any standards.
And I'm gonna have to.
You bringing up a picture of this?
No, I'm bringing up the cast. The names of the cast members.
Shuri is his sister.
Yep.
A lot of fun, except for one meme, which I did not enjoy.
See, I didn't understand. I didn't get that was a meme.
Yeah.
I'd since been explained to me what that joke. We'll talk about it later.
Talk about that. Yeah.
But I didn't think that was a meme. That's just a thing people say sometimes.
Okay.
But now I know that it's a
real meme, Mason.
It's a Jake Paul joke.
It's before that.
Way. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's before that.
Okay.
I've actually got a theory behind why they even put that in.
Uh-huh. Oh, also, speaking of villains, if we can go back to the villain, in contrast to Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger, we also got Andy Serkis as Claw, and he's just great.
He's so great.
I know.
Yeah.
Look, I know he is...
And he is a cackling lunatic.
He's a lunatic, and he is a murderous arms dealer who leaves death in his wake everywhere he goes, but he is... so charming in
and
this.
Very fun.
He's just
having a great time.
He's just a go with the flow kind of guy who's just rolling with it. Like, you lose an arm, you get another arm. You're being chased by the heroes, just put some music on, have a bit of a boogie. You get captured, just have some banter with the whatever. Yeah. Like, I had this thought today.
Yeah.
And I know it's wrong, but I feel this is a safe space and I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
So the Marvel cast in all the Marvel hero cast, they're sort of quite well known for like their charitable doings, and you see them at like, you know, you see them go to schools and whatever.
Yeah.
There's a very memorable video which I think you've seen, which is
there's
a kid and there's a little boy, he's in hospital. I think he's lost his arm in an accident, and
I think he might have been born without.
Okay,
but anyway,
Robert Downey Jr. goes to the hospital in character as Tony Stark. And he brings like a Stark Industries flight case, and he opens it up, and there's like a red and gold Iron Man themed prosthetic arm, and he gives it to the kid, and the kid puts it on, and like he's trying to work the thing, and Robert Downey Jr. says, "Hey, listen, when I was inventing stuff, I failed a lot of times, but what I learned is you just got to keep trying and like work hard, and you got to promise me that you're going to keep trying and you're never going to give up, kind of thing." And it's really kind of moving, and it's kind of nice. Mm. And I had the thought, I hope there's a real surge of Andy Serkis being brought in to do this, like a lot of requests.
In character?
In character. So he goes to the hospital and they apply his neck
tattoos. As arms dealer.
Yeah, they apply his neck tattoos and they spray him with like a sheen of like sweat and grime. And he puts his arm like in his safari shirt so you can't see it. And he goes in and he's like, "Hello, little girl. It's me, your hero. Ulysses Claw." And she's like, "Yay, it's Claw." And then he brings like a couple of his boys come in with like a rusty container from a freighter.
Yeah, it's just in an old oil drum.
Yeah, and they just creak it open, and it's like a weird rubbery monster hand. It's just like, "Hooray." How good would that be? "Now, little girl, you must promise me, if anyone ever says that you can't do anything you put your mind to, you kill them. You kill them immediately without remorse." How good would that be?
Incredible.
Right?
It won't happen.
No, for sure. Be very offensive.
Yeah. But he's very good in this movie, I guess, is the point.
Yes.
I guess my only complaint is I could have seen a lot more of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You know what else that was really good?
That's a movie, you need an A villain and a B villain.
That's true. So. M'Baku. The leader of the white gorilla tribe.
Yes.
I really enjoyed.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I didn't think that would be a character kind of note going into this movie. Yeah, you see him in the trailer and you get a glimpse of him, but he's also a lot of fun and terrifying in moments.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who else do we get? Daniel Kaluuya as...
The border tribe guy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I liked him. He's good. He's always good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nakia, his love interest... Lupita Nyong'o's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Martin Freeman is good.
There's
moments where I'm like, does he even really need to be in this film?
Look, he needs to be there and he needs to be helpful when it's required.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And get out of the way for the rest
exactly.
of the time.
That's what I mean. I think they could have done, in particular, no, you know what? Except for because he has a bit of an action sequence.
Yes.
It's kind of pointless. Well, it's not pointless. It serves a point. A point for the story, but it's not that engaging.
Yeah, right.
So they probably could have done something more exciting with
him. What about Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther, who we've not mentioned?
He's, to me, when I see him in an interview, it's weird hearing him talk in his American accent.
Yeah, right.
First of all, I thought he was British because everybody's
exactly.
British.
Yeah.
But no, he's good. He's really good. What do you think?
He's good, yeah. And I think one thing that I didn't, in my first viewing of this movie, that I was kind of down on is I was like, this movie feels very sincere. And I felt he was a little bit stilted.
Right.
And in the watching of it again, I'm like, no, this is, there's some silly stuff in this.
I think that's also, that works for the character. Because I don't need another Iron Man.
Yeah,
like another
sure.
quippy magic guy or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think it's good to have that contrast. Yeah. Because
yeah.
like Captain America in moments is funny without being a funny
yes,
character.
Yes, that's true.
And I think that's what, that could be applied to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of what I really liked in terms of the world building.
Uh-huh.
It does a really good job of setting up Wakanda
yes.
and the different tribes and how everything works.
Yes.
And the society and
yeah.
the design
oh, so good.
And the costumes. Mm-hmm. And you get a really clear sense of the world, as which I didn't think they did as much in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, right.
And it okay. feels more like a real place until they do like a weird green screen.
Yeah, right.
But it, yeah, I thought that was... And even like little things like the technology, there's a bit where... There's a lot of granular technology.
There is, that's
where
true.
Sort of holograms, that's like grains of vibranium, I assume. Like yeah. they ambush a truck early on and you see it in the little, there's a little granular table with little granular trucks and he picks one up and he swipes the roof off and it's
yes,
it's really interesting. It's not just a holographic interface. Well,
yeah.
it is, but it's done.
I think some
better.
I think some of it was great. Look, I think the world itself, like Wakanda looks great.
Yeah.
And I think especially all the costume designs and all that is just amazing.
Yeah.
But I think the technology, I don't know if they farmed it out to like different teams or
some
something.
Some of it's not
some
good.
Of,
yeah.
Some of it was like, I think like there's little dragonfly copters that I
yes,
think look really
right.
good. And I think for the most part, the Black Panther suit looks good, but I think some of the nanotech effects weren't
yeah,
all that great.
I'd agree with that.
Like he does, his new Black Panther boots.
Mm.
Like I think some of the nanotech effects don't look like anything is happening in the real world.
It's more looks like a weird hologram. Than
yeah,
it's supposed to be a physical.
Yeah,
thing,
it looks
yeah.
like they just did it in a computer. Like
yeah.
he puts on these new Black Panther nanotech boots, and they just sort of they never give you any sense that they're real.
Yeah, right.
They're just he's not wearing them, and then all of a sudden there's a CGI flash and they're on, and it doesn't look that great. But
there's also a bit at the end where there's a battle and some guys grab some cloaks and they wrap it around and then just a rectangular shield just
oh, I
appears.
Like those. Did you not
was,
like those?
No.
I thought that was really good.
I
thought that was fun.
It looked weird. Like, I think there's a way to do that, and that just looked just a box. Just
right,
a holographic
okay.
box in front of them is just not...
Okay.
I
think you could have done better, but
better.
I did enjoy that aspect of the...
Yeah. No, same. I think yeah. it's a good idea. The execution is weird.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But most of it... And there's things... Like, I like the bead technology. I don't know how any of it works.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Sometimes it can stop the engine of a car, or you can call somebody, or you can put one in someone's back and it heals their spine or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I liked that, like, because if you gave an iPhone to someone who's never seen an iPhone, you'd be like, what is this?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
it can do so many things
yeah.
in the one device. Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what I did really like about this movie, though?
What's that?
The themes that it touches upon, because it touches upon them as much as you kind of can in a movie like this.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people are saying, you know, it didn't go far enough. I think it does because
uh-huh.
of what type of movie it is. No Marvel movie has kind of delved into, like, immigration and aid and race relations and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Not that it goes way into it or
no.
even fixes anything.
No, for sure, yeah.
But it talks about things that other movies like this don't talk
yeah.
about.
And the fact that it talks, that it goes into any depth at all.
Yeah.
And again, as two extremely white people from Australia, like the fact that we enjoy
I've traveled, just to be clear.
All right. But like, imagine being, I can't even imagine being black in America and being like, here's a movie
yeah.
with a completely black cast
yeah.
and look at all the issues that it touches on.
And if you love Martin Freeman, there's a little bonus for
there's
you
There's a little
as well.
Bit of bonus there. That's,
that's
right.
the thing. Like, I'm hearing the arguments like, who cares about this movie? It's not a big deal. If you want a black superhero, there was Blade. There was Hancock. Most of Blade is shit. And the good parts of Blade is like 15 years old. Hancock is terrible.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's a bad film.
Yeah.
At best, it's an okay film.
Yeah, right.
I don't like this is a big deal, kids who aren't don't feel like they're represented in movies like this.
Yeah, I'm black in America and I don't have someone to look up to in these kind of movies. And for somebody to go, I'll watch Blade, that movie that came out in 1998 or whatever it was.
And people are saying, well, you know, this has already been done. And it sort of has been done.
Right.
As in there's the lead character was black in a movie that people that stopped like 15 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But not to this extent. I mean, I can't. There's a whole lot of movies with an all-white cast and you just don't notice because that's just the way is. And so why just can't there be something like this?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's not ruining anything. There can be both. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can have this Black Panther movie and it's not going to ruin Superman for you. Do you know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. There can be...
Nothing can ruin Superman.
Yeah. But I think the idea of this movie, if this movie does well, which it's probably going to... Then good. Let's just see more representation in films. Yeah.
You know what they're gonna, but I mean, again, producers are gonna take the wrong end of the stick, and they're gonna go, you know what made this movie $200 million in its opening weekend?
Cat suits,
rhinos, giant rhinos.
Oh, so yeah, that's another CGI bit that I was like, ugh. Maybe it's because it was daylight.
Well, that worked most of the time, and when it was like a puppet, when you saw the puppet part, I'm like, that's quite realistic.
I don't think any of it was a puppet.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Okay. All
right. I remember when you see like Jurassic Park, or maybe not the way that it looks now, but it didn't ever feel like a physical.
Yeah.
And because I guess because it's so bright.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like it's Jurassic Park's a lot of that's in the dark, I guess. But no, and that's also what I liked about this, the color palette. They're moving away from gray, drab Marvel movies, like between this and Guardians and Thor.
Yeah, right.
And I guess they are like different planets, different cultures.
Yeah, right.
Then, yeah, but I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What else, Mason? Do you think it was funny?
In parts.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't super joke heavy. Actually, I was kind of
right.
I was like, yeah, you can do one that's not as jokey. There are funny moments, but yeah. What else was I going to say? You know what? I don't. The Black Panther himself. There's a bit too much CGI bounciness to that.
Oh,
character.
You think there's too much when he's leaping around in South Korea and et cetera.
And the last sequence.
There is a lot. Yeah. The final battle sequence. There is a bit of. Just falling through space.
And maybe it's because when I look at what they've done with Spider-Man now, the physics behind that have been worked out for like 15 years.
Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean? And it's perfect.
Yeah.
But I guess that this, it's not quite there about how far he can jump and how strong he is. And
And he's
kind of weightless, but...
Yeah, and also it's...
Because, at times. Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I also think they, it may be a case of like, well, he's got the new Black Panther suit. And it's got all sorts of tricks involving kinetic energy and whatever.
Yeah.
So if you just need him to do something, he can probably do it.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a great way to build a, you know, that kind of character or that kind of battle suit or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it makes it difficult to determine where his weaknesses are and when he's really in trouble or not in trouble.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm. And most of the time, he's not in trouble.
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to talk spoilers?
I'm going to say best movie ever. I enjoy this a lot.
For me, this is a little bit above like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange.
I think it's significant. Yeah. For me, it's if I'd only watched this once, I might have said that.
Yeah.
But I think having watched it again and gotten my issues out of the way,
yeah,
I think it's significantly better than those.
Okay, fair enough.
It's, yeah.
I think I liked it more than Ragnarok, though.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have to think about it.
All right.
We should do a list.
I don't want to do that. I don't care.
Not now.
I'm not interested.
You know, we should
rank
them before Infinity War.
All right.
All right.
Bearing in mind, I've just objected to ranking it. Let's rank them all. Let's rank them all before Infinity War.
You mentioned this. Spoilers.
Yeah, we're
you
in
mentioned
spoilers.
This directly right after we finished.
Yes.
Killmonger's plan.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of steps in there which you said were unnecessary, and I agree with, and I thought about it. I'm like, no, I kind of.
Wait, did I say this?
Yeah, because basically the Killmonger's plan is to get to Wakanda.
Oh, I see.
He could have killed Andy Serkis and dragged him in,
right, yeah.
But I guess he wanted to bring Andy Serkis to light. So because he's a wanted Wakandan criminal, he killed a bunch of people from there. He stole a bunch of vibranium, which is all touched on in Age of Ultron.
I guess if he just killed him and went, here you go, they would have been like, thanks, see you later.
But by... like Andy Serkis turning up, Black Panther not getting him, then failing in retrieving him, and then having to go back home and tell people that he let him go.
Yeah, in a way, Killmonger's already proven that he is better than Black Panther in a way. He's like, you failed and I succeeded, so...
So I guess from that perspective, I understand.
Yeah, right.
But at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, you could have just killed him and gone, I brought him to you.
It's a shame that... it's a shame that both of these characters are now dead.
Yes.
Which is a mark of a good villain, I think.
Yeah.
If you're like, well, I wish we'd seen more of these people, and I wish we would see more. There's always a chance that Killmonger can come back as a spirit.
Yeah, right.
I guess, because...
Or time travel or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that's the thing. Anybody can come back at this point.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, because he's from Wakanda and there's, you know, it's part of the spirit world.
Yeah.
Then I guess so. A lot of people are like, maybe Serkis could come back. He got shot like 3 times in the chest and probably in the head. Yeah, so probably. He's definitely dead.
He's definitely dead.
Unless they throw him in like a vibranium cyclotron or whatever and he comes back as the weird sound version of himself.
Oh, yeah. I'd take that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But no, I think that is the
market. Look at me, I'm so loud now. My accent's getting worse.
No, better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say about that.
I like that he had a SoundCloud.
Yes,
I hope that deck. I hope somebody puts something together and puts it out there.
I'm
so
sure somebody has, if Marvel haven't done it themselves. Yeah, they mentioned in the film that Everett Ross was a pilot.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Which was obviously just so at the end he could have a little piloting moment.
Yeah.
Which is.
Do you think they might bring him back for Captain Marvel? Like
de-age him a little bit. That's a very,
and then be like, hey, I mean, he and Captain Marvel know each other because they used to be in the Air
but
Force.
But I guess also he's CIA, he's not SHIELD. But yeah, you're right. Air Force, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's a very real possibility,
could
Mason.
Could be good.
Yeah, but his action sequences...
Martin Freeman, if you're listening, petition for that. You'll get
another
movie out of it.
You'll probably get another
one. I mean, they've filmed it already, so probably not, but whatever.
Yeah. What I was going to say about Killmonger, I think it would have been interesting in... what's it called? Avengers Infinity War. If he did live and Black Panther went to him and said, aliens are coming and we need everybody.
Yeah, right.
And you bring him out and he becomes like an anti-hero. But obviously they can't because he's dead. Or maybe there's a way around that. But
sure.
I think he's an interesting character.
Thanos might be like, listen, just to make this fair, I'll bring back anybody you want. I'm that good.
Yeah. Red Skull. Oh, no.
Everybody pick 2 guys and I'll bring them back and then I'll fight them all. I'm just that good.
Well, most people lived Quicksilver, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And Andy Serkis' arm.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. But what I was going to say about his, like the variation in his powers and him being vulnerable, there's moments where he gets challenged for the black role of the Black Panther mantle and king.
Yes.
The first time he fights M'Baku.
Yes.
And you feel like he's got to get beaten, even though you know he's not going to get beaten.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
That was a really tense moment.
Yeah. And it looked great. In my second viewing of that, I'm like, that is an incredible... I don't know how much of that's CG and how much is real or what they filmed it on location or whatever, but I'm like, that looks just amazing.
Doesn't it? And that was interesting to me. And then when he fights Eric Killmonger in the same situation, also terrifying... And he gets thrown over the cliff or the waterfall and whatever. But then he comes back and they just give him his powers back. And then he's fine again.
Uh-huh.
But I think it would have been more interesting if the final battle where he fights Eric Killmonger, who's a new Black Panther and he's got the herb, so he's super strong and he's got the suit.
Yes.
If the Black Panther, T'Challa, turns up and he's only got the suit.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he would have been killed, sure.
Yeah.
But I guess there would have been stakes and not just he can fall 200 feet and then he's completely fine.
That's true. I think, and again, the issue is always like, if you compare it to previous films, then it would just be Shades of Iron Man again, where he's got the old arc reactor.
Yeah, right.
And he has to fight Ironmonger with a new reactor or whatever.
Sure, but I think I like that.
Yeah, same. Oh, so if I can talk about the issues that I had with the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
The problem I have with the first 10, do you remember Dark City, the Alex Proyas film?
Oh, yeah, I remember Dark City.
So if you saw Dark City on DVD...
Uh-huh.
The director's cut. What happens is the main character wakes up. And
spoilers for Dark City.
And they're in a hotel room. He's in a hotel room, and there's like a dead body, and he doesn't know how he got there. And he goes on and he leaves, and he goes on the run. He's being pursued by mysterious men in trench coats. And he doesn't know what's happening, and then eventually he unfurls the mystery, and this whole situation happens. But if you saw it at the cinema, it opens with just a title card that explains everything that's going to happen.
It explains
the twist, and it's like, oh, by the way, this happened and this happened, and the reason it's here is because
blah,
of this.
Blah, blah, yeah.
And that I kind of feel happened with this first 10 minutes of Black Panther, where if you don't know anything about the comic book character and you don't know And you've missed some of the trailers or whatever, which a lot of people do because they don't obsessively watch them on YouTube like we do. All you would have seen is a guy in Civil War who runs around in the bulletproof catsuit.
Yes.
And you don't know what his deal is.
Yeah.
Like maybe he
Well, we didn't even know if he was superpowered before this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, for all we know, he's just the head of a third world country and he bought that suit from like the Tinkerer or whatever. Like
yeah,
that's
right.
his, like, you know, because some like, you know, like a third world country, they live in poverty, but they have fighter jets and he's got like the king has like a gold AK-47
yeah.
or whatever. It could be like that. And so you'd go into this going like, well, what's the deal with this country? But in the first 5 minutes, they go, oh, by the way, Wakanda has the most, they just say Wakanda has the most amazing technology in the world and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then
they show you it.
Yeah. And then there's the bit in Oakland, which is very good, I thought.
Yeah.
And that's the third that I liked. And then they go, then there's the action sequence where they basically just show he's indestructible, and then they go to Wakanda. And by that point, we already know there's a holographic landscape that covers Wakanda.
Yeah, right.
We already know whatever. And so when we go in, I'm like, well, I'm not, it looks great, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, right.
What I think they should have done is, that, I mean, they could have kept most of it and just changed some of the dialogue.
Mm.
With the opening narration, they could have just gone, okay, millions of years ago, a meteorite landed in Wakanda, and these tribes warred over the great power that it contained, and then Wakanda closed its borders and nobody knows what's in there,
yeah.
kind of thing. And then you don't know. And then you just cut to the same thing where there's like the caravan of slave trader trucks. They're driving along. All the power gets cut. Then Black Panther shows up and he beats them all up. And then...
Then you go to Wakanda?
Yeah, then you go to Wakanda. But maybe you have him in like... You just put him in like something that looks like a Learjet or something.
Yeah, right.
And then by when it goes to Wakanda, then the hologram goes yeah. down and then you see that it's incredible.
I wonder even before they even go back there, you have the Andy Serkis saying, oh no, there's more there than you think.
Yeah, right.
And if so, then by the time you get there, you're like, what yeah. is actually
because
there?
Because in the action sequence with the slave traders, he jumps out of a super high tech hover ship. He throws EMP bombs on everything. The suit's indestructible, whatever. If you make it look as if he's just some guy prowling the jungle,
it could be like a phantom situation.
Exactly.
Whatever,
and they're like, why did the truck stop working? We don't know. And then he like takes them all down. I think that would be more interesting.
I agree.
But by the time you get to Wakanda, you're like, well, he's already got a holograph. You know, he's already got this invisible high tech hover ship. And he's got all this super high technology and he can fall 100 feet without dying,
yeah.
and blah, blah, blah. It's not that, you know. And I think I got that sequence and I took it with me and I went, well, I don't know. How good is this storytelling? I don't even know.
Yeah, anything. Right.
So I don't know, mate. Well, that's just
I think I prefer your version, Mason.
Thank you. I'm the Ryan Coogler of this podcast.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
What do you think? Have you seen all of his films?
I haven't seen Fruitvale Station.
It's really good.
Is Michael B. Jordan in that as well?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's really great.
Is he really buffing it?
No, I don't
is he
think
just regular?
It doesn't play to that, I think.
Okay.
It's interesting because it's a true story.
Black
and
Panther.
It's a horror... No, not that. The Fruitvale Station. And it's like the way that went down is like, how the fuck did this happen? But they also don't play the guy, the Michael B. Jordan character, as a hero. It's like he's kind of a bad guy.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's really interesting. It's a really good film.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the meme bit, the what are those?
Oh, sure, right.
I think the reason they put it
people
in...
People can say that in real life.
Yeah, but the way that's said...
Oh, I
it's
see.
Like,
it's like
it's
a
the beef. But I think the reason they put it in is because this movie is probably set like 2 years ago.
Oh, I see.
In
right.
the time of that great meme or whenever that meme came out.
Okay.
So it's
so this is yet another of the Marvel movies that's in a slightly different...
Yeah, because it's right after Civil War,
oh,
which
yeah,
means it's
true.
Around the time of Spider-Man Homecoming. But then again...
Yes.
So I think Spider-Man Homecoming said... is set in 2017.
Yeah, right.
So maybe it is an old meme.
Yeah.
No, I may be wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What else can we talk about this movie?
We can talk about the post-credits scenes.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was pointless.
Uh-huh.
And the second one was good, but I called it before. I mean, it wasn't like a massive...
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that line. I did an Easter egg video, Mason. You can check
it
out. I'll link it below.
Ooh.
It's all about it. But there's a line that says, it says, the foolish build barriers and the wise build bridges.
Uh-huh.
Which is, well, I thought was a nod to like Trump and all that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But apparently, and I still think it is, but apparently it's an African proverb that, did I say proverb right? Or did I say proverb? I said proverb?
Yes.
Okay, I did. Good. Yes. that Kugler's wife found out when they were working on it. So they wrote that stuff before Obama was president. Right. But,
okay.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about the action sequences. We didn't talk about all of them anyway.
Would you want to talk about them?
They're good. Let me think.
Yeah.
What about the one in the casino is pretty good?
I like that one. That's probably my favorite one.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I really like the Dora Milaje. We haven't actually spoken about them at all.
We haven't, that's true, yeah.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. And there's sequences in that that reminded me of the Praetorian Guard bit from The Last Jedi.
Yeah, right, okay.
When there's six of them fighting Killmonger.
Yeah, right.
And there's moments like that where it's like he's bulletproof and he's a better fighter.
Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. So, but they just have to get the necklace off. That's kind of a design flaw in the Black Panther suit, if you know it.
Yeah.
If you just pull the necklace off.
I thought that was great. Uh-huh. It's very bloodless because he cuts one of their throats.
And nothing happens.
There's a bit where the Black Panther gets stabbed in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Or the chest, and you see it, and it just looks like a black face
paint.
It's
a scuff.
Yeah, even though he got full on stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But more of them, man. Like,
yeah.
They're really, really cool. Yeah. And they could probably beat him up as well, which I like.
Sure, yeah. Oh, they could absolutely beat him up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the car chase we mentioned was pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean...
What do you think about the idea of like the Kamoyo Bead can remote control a car or whatever?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
they can do a bit of everything.
Yeah.
I liked the one thing I really liked about that chase sequence was that she's remote controlling a car from Wakanda and it's a little holographic-y thing. I liked that. I thought that was really cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm. Just about covers it. I was just thinking about Andy Serkis doing fun Andy Serkis stuff.
Yeah. But I don't think there's any amazing action sequences, like really standout stuff.
No, not really.
Yeah, but it's all better than a lot of other things that aren't as good.
That's very true, isn't
it? Yeah.
Objectively, that cannot be false.
What about, did you like seeing Bucky?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He looks good.
He looks good.
He's the White Wolf, which is, again, I bring up my Easter egg video, Mason. Feel free to check it out. It's linked below. Yeah, okay. But that's a different character. Mm-hmm. It's like a white guy who was raised by... Raising Wakanda. Yeah, he was a white guy raised by white wolves.
Oh.
Yeah. Got a question here, though.
Yes.
I thought this would be interesting. This is from Giuseppe, and his Twitter handle is @ILoveWillSmith9.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Couldn't get any of those first, eh?
Apparently not. Ring-a-ding-ding, I'll predict a thing. I bet you the soul stone is under the heart-shaped fruit that they gave to gave the fruit purple color and powers. #WeeklyPlanetPod. Also, good movie outside of the wonky CGI.
That could be true, yeah.
I think the Soul Stone is almost certainly in Wakanda.
Yeah, I would say, and I think this is.
It may have also been spoiled in a Lego set already.
Yeah, probably. I think the popular suggestion is that it's at the center of the meteorite.
Yeah, right.
That is in, that has all the vibranium in it. Here's a question: Do you know? Has there ever been a story where they? Explain where vibranium comes from in the comic book universe?
I think it's a similar thing.
Okay, yeah. I always thought it was just a naturally occurring element. It never occurred to me that it was just...
Maybe it's been retconned to that.
Yeah, maybe, that's true.
But isn't... Like, Captain America's shield in the comics is a vibranium-adamantium mix, is that right?
It's vibranium and something else, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wood.
It's vibranium and wood, yeah.
I think that's why, though, we're going to be getting the battle... in Wakanda in the next film.
Yeah,
and
for
I think
sure.
It'll be, because this movie doesn't tie a lot into the outside universe. It feels very self-contained. There's elements that kind of reach out, but there's not a like, look, it's Thor. Like there's none of that. I think that's good. But I think Infinity War is going to tie a lot into this.
Yeah.
And we see just from that sequence
I think maybe
alone.
Captain America's shield in the movies isn't vibranium.
No, it's
isn't.
Yeah, because they mentioned that it's vibranium.
Oh, did they?
It's like the last of the vibranium.
Oh, I see.
Because remember,
they
go to, they offer him the shield. They're showing all the different shields, and he's like, "What about this one?" And they're like, "You don't want that bulletproof, indestructible shield that returns to you like it's magic.
Yeah, right.
Here's something I made that's square and has guns on it."
Oh, that's
something.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
it's like,
right.
No, you take the indestructible shield, idiot.
Okay, yeah.
But I think the other reason I think it might be the soul stone would be there is because of what you mentioned about how the afterlife, and maybe that's what. Because we don't really get a sense of the afterlife in the Marvel Universe. There's there's the microverse and whatever. But it would make sense that the reason the people in Wakanda can commune with the dead is because the whole thing is sitting on the soul stone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it might be, you might say, and I think Infinity War is being set up for a series of small tragedies.
Right.
Like with the Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
I think it also might be, if Thanos takes the Soul Stone, then they can't communicate with their ancestors anymore.
Right, okay.
Like it might be something like that. I don't know.
And he's only going to use it to shoot a blue laser or whatever.
Exactly. What a waste. He's not going to communicate with any of his ancestors.
That's something.
He's going to look at it and his ancestors, Thanos' ancestors are communicating with him. You can see the Soul Stone blinking and he's like, ooh. Just turns it around. And then like 3 hours later, he's like, ooh, sorry, missed it. Only just seen this now. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I'm looking forward to it, Infinity War, showing the stones do different things. Because most of them, and there are exceptions, like one of them could change time, which is right. different. But most of them just shoot a big laser
right.
or make a big explosion. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the one from the red one.
Yes.
From Thor Ragnarok and the purple one from Guardians. What's really the difference?
There is
between
no
those
exactly
two,
thus
you know?
Far. It's just if you drop it, you're all gonna die.
Yeah, don't.
Don't just
please
don't
drop it. Yeah. But no, I think we're gonna get a lot of that in Avengers Infinity War. Is it made you more kind of excited for Avengers Infinity War and the characters are gonna bring into that? Because you see the Dora Milaje in that fight, you see Bucky,
that's true.
You see a bunch of other, you see M'Baku, you see a bunch of them in the background.
Yeah,
I think
that's pretty good.
Going to make it interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I had another thought, but it's gone, so don't even worry about it.
I wasn't.
All right then.
Everybody at home, don't worry about it either.
Yeah, he didn't look worried, to be honest. pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
I got some, while you think of that thought, I got some reviews here from people if
okay,
you
I'm
want.
Ready.
It's from Kendra. Just saw Black Panther and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked fantastic and had an amazing cast. I truly have no idea who was going to live or die, and it made more exciting than other Marvel movies. It did do a lot of killing. I like that.
Yeah.
I really like Michael B. Jordan's death and how he stuck to his convictions. He was like, oh no, I'll die. You can just throw me in the ocean.
Yeah, right.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's from Adam. Saw Black Panther, really enjoyed it. I got some fun James Bond vibes. Yeah, there's definitely a bit of that. In the first half, and Michael B. Jordan was great. It was probably the best, one of the best Marvel villains. But who knew vibranium had so many medical uses?
Yeah. What I think also, I think there's a question there is how is the Wakandan stuff not going to be a game breaking technology in the rest of the Marvel universe?
I don't think they're just going to give it out.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think it might be a case of they could very easily rewrite it as, well, we can't give you this technology to heal any illness because if you take it too far out of Wakanda, it doesn't work.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Because of proximity to vibranium or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
It's fine.
So the furthest Captain America gets from there, the less bouncy his shield is.
Do you think that it is... A lot of people have also said, do you think that Tony Stark in Infinity War is going to steal the nanite design for his suit?
Oh, it's a very real possibility.
I'm potentially, but I also think, because there's a line in Black Panther where Daniel Kaluuya's character says, the rest of the world is nearly catching up.
Oh, right.
And I think maybe that's what he's referring to.
Absolutely. I think there's a chance that after he sees this, he'll work some of it in.
Yeah, right. Because it seems like a more primitive version. Like
his version.
Tony Stark's version seems like, from the tiny fraction of it we've seen in the last trailer, it seems to be like slower moving and
it's more like panels unfolding.
Yeah, right.
I don't disagree.
There's
also
been calls for Shuri, who's the Q of this movie, to maybe take over from Iron Man in like after Robert Downey Jr.
I've got a
time.
Question about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, go for it.
Sure, let me find it, Mason.
Okay. But in the comic books, we have, when Tony Stark died in inverted commas the last time, of the many times he's died and come back and been blown to pieces and come back or whatever.
He's a hologram now or something.
He was replaced by Riri Williams, who is also an African woman, like a teenager, who took on the name Ironheart and built her own, like a variety of Iron Man type suits.
Yeah.
I think it would probably be a mistake to just go, okay, sure, he can do that. Let's make her the next Iron Man. Because that... I don't think you should mash two characters together.
Right.
When you should just have...
Bring in a new one.
And also, like, the idea of Riri Williams is that she... I like the idea that Shuri is a genius and creates all this technology, but she also is backed by all the previous technology of Wakanda and all the resources. But what I like about Riri Williams is she's just a kind of a high school college student. Who
more Peter Parker-esque.
Yeah, who based on nothing just had the spark of genius and went, I can do this.
Yeah.
And just put it all together.
Right.
So I think if you're gonna replace Iron Man new character.
Also, Shuri becomes Black Panther at some point. So maybe they'll go in that direction.
Yeah, totally.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did merge them, though.
Yeah, right.
I think also, and people have mentioned this, I think there's a very good chance that Everett Ross, well, not a very good chance, there's a chance that Everett Ross will become the next Hulk.
Yeah, right.
The Red
Hulk.
I think we mentioned that on the show.
Yeah, Red Hulk could be good.
Yeah. The letter was Corey with the E. My wife had a theory that Shuri could end up replacing Tony and become a movie version of Ironheart. What do you think?
Well, if you were listening, if you could stop typing your email days ago for a goddamn second and listen to the podcast we were just doing, we just answered that, all right? But it's a good idea, but I think if you...
Separate them.
Look, in a lot of cases, I'm kind of happy to combine characters or merge them or whatever, or, you know, simplify backgrounds or whatever. But I think if you're talking representation,
yeah,
don't merge, create a new one.
Purge.
No, not that.
Oh, okay.
Scourge? I wasn't trying to rhyme.
Splurge.
Oh, yeah, splurge on a new character.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Pretty good.
What do we got here? It's from Daniel. Black Panther was enjoyable in acting, visuals, and music, but suffered from the tropes of being a Marvel introductory film like Thor, Doctor Strange, etc. He's hoping they find a way to get Andy Serkis back. He was a highlight for me. Me too.
Yeah, he's never coming back.
Danielle says, really like Black Panther overall. Little light on action for my taste, but the characters and the story kept my attention. Would see again. Mm. Dennis says, I really like Black Panther and thought it was enjoyable, but I don't understand why people are calling it the best Marvel movie ever. That's Winter Soldier, or that it revolutionized comic book movies. And Bryce says, hey, James, a.k.a. Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh, he's got your number. He knows.
He knows. Just got back from Black Panther. It was good but not phenomenal. Seemed to drag at the end of the second act. But all in all, not a bad movie. What did you think? Again, we just talked about it.
This is maddening.
Anything else?
Nah, that'll do it, I think.
Pretty good, Mason.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know what it's time for now?
Oh, what's it time for?
It's time for our segment.
Oh, yeah. Well, what we're
reading.
Reading,
what we're going to read. But it's the listener segment as well.
In a way it is, that's
true. I mean, it's mostly about shit that we've done.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm doing the thing. What
are we reading today? Last week I said I was going to watch the new Man from Earth movie. I didn't get around to it. But what I did watch...
Thanks for the update.
No problem. Your mate, Trainspotting.
What'd you think?
Yeah, good.
Trainspotting 2.
No, the first one.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it, like, as an adult.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what'd you think?
The full way through. I see why you like it now.
It's great.
It's good.
I mean, yeah. It's real grim.
It's equal parts real wacky... And then very
horrible,
grim,
horrible
yeah.
things. Are you going to watch the sequel
also,
now?
They're so thin.
They're so thin
and young. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I'm fine. I'll watch the sequel this week and see if it holds the same emotional resonance for me as it did for you.
I liked it.
It won't.
It's not as good. Okay. But it's
well, then I also think it'll be fine.
It's better than it should be. I think, yeah. I really like it. But, I mean, you can't... How are you going to make a film as good as Trainspotting 20
that's
years
true.
On?
Yeah. I thought it was fine. Anyway, and also this is something I hadn't read before, and I've just bought them. I don't know if the sale will still be going on when this is released, but on Comixology, the first three volumes of Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther run, like Marvel run, they're all on sale,
and they're really good.
They're real good. That's what people tell
me. A lot of influence in this movie as well.
Apparently so. Yeah.
If you watch my Easter egg video, Mason,
yep.
I make that comparison and probably butcher his name.
Nice.
Yeah. I read the Thrawn comic. Thrawn issue number... Hard to say.
Yeah.
Easy to read. Hard to say. Thrawn is the blue-eyed alien man from Star Wars.
Shadows of the Empire?
No, that's Shizor or Zizor,
depending
on your personal tastes. But no, he's from the Thrawn trilogy. You know, the ones after Return of the Jedi.
Dark Force Rising.
Heir
to the Empire.
Yeah, those ones.
The other one.
Yeah, those the other ones.
Last Command. I know them all.
Yeah, you know them all. They're good. But they brought him back into the new canon, and this is his... There's a book, which I think this is based on.
Yeah, okay.
But this comic is really good. It's one of the much better... Like, there's some kind of okay Star Wars books, but this is a really good one. So, Thrawn issue number one.
Is his origin exactly the same?
I think it is. That's pretty close. No, from the... Previous,
yes,
a lot of it's brought in, but I don't think it's exactly.
Interesting. Is this the first time they've done that with a
brought in a new one? Brought in the same.
Is this the first time they've brought in a now non canon character and brought
probably
him back to
canon? The biggest one, but it's I don't think it's the first,
right?
Because they brought back like Darth Bane and Mention and a bunch of others.
How interesting!
I think so, but it's what is interesting. The Thrawn novel that the comic is based off is also written by Timothy Zahn, who wrote that trilogy.
Oh right,
yeah, so. There you go.
There you go. So if it's kind of interesting because I guess now all the non-canon stuff is called Star Wars Legends.
Ooh.
So if you go, well, maybe some of it happened and some of it didn't,
yeah,
and some of it maybe happened but not in the way it was told originally. Yeah. Like, there's a way. There's ways you can work it in.
Star Wars is interesting the way that they're...
Star Wars is interesting.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes yeah. It's bad. But Star Wars is interesting in... It's different from the Marvel comics because you can translate something from the comics in, say, Marvel or DC and change a lot of it, and people don't seem to care. But people do really care about the Star Wars or seem to care more. I mean, I don't because a lot of it's not good. Uh-huh. But my only point of contention is... If they're doing new stuff, like if they're doing a new sequel trilogy book, it should probably be better than the Zahn one.
Yeah, right.
And I haven't read it, but as far as I know, the stuff that they've written after that is not as good.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to wipe it, you know, you probably want to make sure it's really good. But a lot of it is yeah. good because a lot of the other stuff is crap.
Should they bring back Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
The clone of Luke Skywalker?
And Luke, because there's another one with 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an April Fool's thing. But nice. Yeah. But anyway, we talk about Star Wars too much as is, Madison.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have brought this up. Anyway, no one cares about your Thrawn comic.
Oh, come on, mate. Anyway, this week I'll watch The New Man from Earth. Probably.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll check in next week on that one.
I don't have a lot of time, you know what I mean?
Do you have time to do the letters segment?
Yeah, I'll do a letters then. The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a take away. You know, they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
I hit myself in the ear doing a little dance when that happened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I hope it didn't come through on the podcast.
I hope it did.
I'd hate to give it an air of unprofessionalism.
Oh, I see.
Now, we already did the letter from Corey without the E about Shuri.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got another letter. If you do want to reach the show, hashtag weeklyplanetpod, you can send us a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can email Mason, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. And he'll read out the best email of the week
that he found
as the show is happening.
Interesting.
You got one?
Actually, I've got a whole bunch of emails this week because last week... The Venom teaser came out.
Oh, yes!
And I asked the listeners, our great weekly wackadoos, maybe show the trailer, because it's a trailer it's a teaser that ultimately revealed almost nothing. And I said, show it to somebody who's not into superhero movies, who isn't clued into all this sort of stuff. Have them watch it, ask them what it's about. Look, answers were many and varied.
Yes.
But there was a lot of people were like, maybe he's possessed by a demon.
I can say that.
Which works.
Yep.
But it's sort of, if that's the angle they're going for, of like, well, people are bored of superhero movies, so let's show them a movie where somebody's possessed by the devil. People are bored of movies where people are possessed by the devil as well.
Exactly. We got a little bit of pushback, not a lot, because most people hate it, but it's just a teaser trailer. Yeah, but you should get some sense of what it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Because I don't think it pleases Venom fans. And if you don't know who Venom is, what is it? What else you got? You got anything else?
Let's see. Well, specifically, here's a couple. So Kevin Moyer said he showed the Venom trailer his dad. He thinks that the movie's set in the future and scientists have found a way to enter the dreams of other people. So that most of the action is going to take place inside Tom Hardy's mind while he's being observed in the hospital.
Does he think this is an Inception
sequel? He thinks it's a sequel to Inception, yeah, okay.
No, I can see that, though.
Yeah. Ross McQueen said, showed it to my dad, and he said, some guy gets bit by a snake and turns into a superhero. I don't know, some Marvel crap, they're all the same. So that's fair. Alex Hill said...
A snake or some
Yeah,
crap.
Pretty good, right? Yeah. I didn't see any snakes
great.
In the trailers.
But you know what? Yeah. On a surface level, a lot of superhero movies are just something just that. Like that.
Exactly. This is an insight into the genre that we love, is if you show it to an external party, they're like, this is just some garbage. What does he get bitten by a dog and he turns into a super dog? This is garbage. It's so stupid. What are you doing? Get a real job. Pay some taxes. Alex Hill says, I showed his girlfriend the Venom trailer. Her comments are below. Oh, Tom Hardy, I like him. That's
great.
Fair. Is this means war too? Oh, wait, it's one of those dumb movies you like.
Oh, that's great.
Pretty good.
That's a live reaction. I love that. True. That's really good.
I guess a lot of these are right in the sense of like, he is kind of being possessed by a demon.
Yeah, in a way.
Sorts,
yeah, that's not incorrect. So they got that across.
Yeah. Anyway, that was from Alex, newly single and from the UK. So that's pretty good.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway, that's an assortment of letters about Venom.
Well, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. You got any tweets there?
I do have one. This is from Josh Joseph. Two first names. That's crazy. Yeah. What do you guys think about comics changing to match the movies, like Spider-Man getting organic webs in the early 2000s to match the movies. Often it's bad.
Oh, it's often bad, yeah.
And it ties in and it ruins kind of the current run of whatever's happening.
I mean, in the past it's worked, and I wonder, but like, for example, 1989's Batman, as an example, you know, prior to that, Batman in the comic books, his costume was light grey and like a cornflower blue.
Oh, yeah.
Even
in the Grimmest of Tales.
In the Grimmest of Tales, he had like the colourful blue and grey costume.
That's true.
And then when he became all black in the movies, then the costume has sort of rapidly darkened down and now it's kind of cool and grim. But I guess was the costume going that way anyway?
Potentially, yeah.
Maybe, but I mean, it had been that way since the 60s.
Black, like jet black doesn't play in comics either. Just to be a...
I think they went... This costume started going grayer and grayer and the cape got black. And then I think it was briefly all black, but it didn't work. And so they lined
what
it up.
What is he in Justice League of America, that comic that you love with the Martians? And
he's
isn't it black in that?
Yeah, he's dark gray and black. Yeah.
Is he? I'm going to check that out.
Okay, you should.
Yeah. But no, I think, because they gave Spider-Man organic web shooters because he was poisoned because the spider venom was killing him. And then he turned into a cocoon.
Yeah, he communed with some sort of spider spirit.
And then he turned into a giant spider.
But then he gave birth to himself.
And he had organic web shooters.
He had organic web shooters, and he could also...
He had a pincer or something? A bite or a sting?
He had a sting, maybe, and he could also communicate with spiders. Like, he could command spiders. And they just very quickly removed that.
But they gave the sting to Miles Morales. He's got a bit of that.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, much later, obviously.
Yeah. Mostly it doesn't work, and then a lot of the time it's reverted back.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think it's...
It's also a good indicator of whether or not the movie worked.
Yeah, right.
As an example, I think of Steel, the movie Steel.
It's a good movie.
Because in Steel's original incarnation, he had like the big Superman-esque, and he was much more of a Superman-esque character. And he was like... But he was like a, you know, super genius weapons designer kind of character. Then the movie Steel came out. He didn't have the S. Oh, and then he was rebooted slightly when he got his own series. He lost the S on the chest.
He's his own man.
Because he was his own man. But then when the movie Steel came out, they were like, "Ooh, let's make him more like Superman
let's not
again.
Do this,
let's really bring that S back." And that's really because he was a weapons designer in that movie, but he wasn't. He was played by Shaq.
Yes, he was.
And I think
yeah.
Then they went, okay, let's just.
Well, we did a Caravan of Garbage.
In that one, yeah.
And you didn't hate it as much.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I mean, it's bad.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but it's no worse than any other superhero movie that came out in that era.
It's worse than some of them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
Can you think of any other examples?
Let me think. I know when they did The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think they brought back Peter Parker because he was Doc Ock. I think they brought him back. It was like they did a new issue.
Oh,
line.
I see. Right, all right, right, right.
And that was a really good run, but maybe it was reaching its natural conclusion. I wonder, though, by doing this, are you alienating comic book fans, or are the numbers of people who then jump on board comics, do they increase?
Yeah, good question.
But I think... I know this is what I do, and maybe not everybody does this.
I think maybe on a monthly, like on a 1 month at a time basis. Like I think a lot of people are going to jump on board Black Panther comic books.
Yes.
Because of this movie, but how many of them will stick around?
But I think a lot of people, what I do when a new movie comes out based on a property or a particular story arc, I read that story arc.
Yep.
I don't go, what's the new one? I'm like, give me the good one.
Yeah, right.
I'll read
sure.
the best version of this.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's probably smarter than just changing it to be like the movies. But also, I think it's also... Comics and movies are shifting because movies are a lot closer to comics than they used to be.
Yes, so that's true, yeah.
Because I know the X-Men, they changed into black costumes.
Yes.
And then that didn't last super long though, did it?
No.
From memory.
Mm.
But yeah. I don't know where I was
going. Neither do I. But I think, I think that happened a lot in the past, but I think maybe now it's more a case of because movie studios are more willing to go, okay, in the comic books they were wearing bright yellow costumes and whatever, let's just do that in the movies because that's what that works now, and people are used to it and they can accept it now.
Yeah.
So there's less of an issue these days, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's the tooth.
That is the tooth.
Yeah. Is that it?
I think so.
Yeah, let's bloody wrap it up, Mason.
Nice, okay. Look, you can contact us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Thank you to everybody for listening. I'm putting that earlier in the good plugs idea. At the end now.
And if you want to throw us a review, that would be great. Super cool.
If it's a good review. If it's not interested, quite frankly.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah. If you like the podcast, tell your friends. If you didn't like it, tell your enemies. What about that? That's the thing.
Especially if they're comic book fans. Because yeah. they'll probably need to get more out of it.
Probably get more out of yeah. it. If they're like fishing fans or something, they'd probably listen to 2 minutes and turn it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, they'll probably listen to Carp Monthly or some shit.
Is that a monthly podcast about carp?
Do I fucking stutter? Yes.
Good. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If yep. you want to chuck in a buck. That'd be terrific. We'd really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Or you can go through our Amazon affiliate link. You can click through and buy your normal Amazon shop and we get a kickback.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I believe that the Black Panther stuff is also on sale on Kindle. So if you want to go through
okay.
and buy through that, you can get yourself a bargain.
I don't have a Kindle. The Kindles do like Comixology?
Yes. Really? It's all linked in a way that I don't entirely understand, but I think you can...
Because I wouldn't mind getting something that's separate from my phone.
Oh, yeah, you can get comics on.
Because I know the Kindle Claire has is like black and white, and it looks like it's just filled with sand, like an Etch-A-Sketch or some shit.
For sure, yeah.
But I wouldn't mind like something that's just for reading. So because if I'm on my phone, I'm like, maybe I'll check Facebook. And then I go there and I'm like... I hate everybody on here.
Why did I check Facebook? Now I'm being manipulated by the Kremlin.
Yes, sorry, I just read a YouTube comment that's wrong. I'm being corrected, but it's wrong.
What does it say?
You missed Denzel Whitaker played the younger version of his father, Forrest Whitaker. It's not his son. They got the same last name, but they're not related.
Oh, it's just a coincidence, yeah. right? Okay.
They're not related.
I was going to say, the younger, they really nailed the younger versions
they did.
Of the characters.
Well, this is in my Easter egg video, but... The young T'Chaka is the son of that actor.
That's pretty cool.
And he looks also like the what's his name? The Black Panther actor. Whatever his name. What's his
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, don't you reckon?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Oh, man, crazy.
Pretty good.
Yeah. What else?
Oh, yeah, we're in the middle of plugs.
Yes.
What else do we normally say? We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. Love seeing those Weekly Planet tees in the wild.
Yep.
Go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates on Facebook yeah. if you want to join that group. We're up to like 7,000
really
something
cool.
members.
And it's not inundated with posts every 10 seconds because it is being monitored by the great Andrew Levins.
That's right.
And the great Robert Collings. Yes.
Who's at the Weekly Planet on
and
Twitter.
And does
if you want
fantastic
to say
work. Mm. Say hi to him. Just be like, hey, you do good work. Because he does.
That's right.
He does the website planetbroadcasting.com where everything
newsletter.
Is compiled.
Sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah, please.
That's everything, I think. Thank you, the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our many great themes.
You've got suggestions for episodes.
Let us know.
We're doing next week, so
we don't know because we're going with all the blockbusters are done for a little bit.
Maybe we should take a day off, week off. Do you want to take a week off?
No, listen, don't do that. I get real antsy whenever we take a week off.
Okay,
when we took the weeks off earlier this year, I'm like, 2 weeks off is too many weeks off. I don't like this at all. It's unpleasant.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.